Yeah, last week we saw a beautiful idea from the Aruch Hayim HaKadosh and how he explained the names of the places and how it's relevant to our lives. So we saw a hint to what we're going to see more of today, how these psukim and every pasuk in the Torah can be taken on so many levels, as we know. So obviously these are things that happened, and this is simply put the speech that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to the Jewish people, as we know, part of his long speech before he passes away. That's what the whole Chumash Devarim is. But of course, there's many layers to it. So he's speaking to that generation. He's obviously telling them all the different things that they did wrong and hopefully to improve for when they enter the land. That's on the one level. It's all true. And of course, reminiscing almost, in a certain sense, all the things they've been through together. And giving them certain mitzvahs that they're going to take. And so to speak, if you want, why he mentions those mitzvahs, we said, because they need more warning, or they're going to be more applicable now that they're going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. But then there's also deeper layers, which we can all apply to our lives. Things that have to do with us day to day, moment by moment. So we're going to see some of that today, of how it applies, as we say, in the different ways. But before we can see that, we have to see some of the psukim. So we read the first three or four psukim just, which named the places sort of where they went through in the desert. But today, we're going, and the lessons that they learned from that, today we're going to continue, as we see, with Moshe Rabbeinu's speech, and we're going to see what is he choosing to highlight right at the beginning of his long speech. So, if you want, in your sheets that look like the Chumash sheets, in other words, you'll see, I'll tell you which one to go on what page. We're going to go on page number. Okay, so in your Chumash sheets, we're going to go to, I think it's page 3 or 4 even already. Okay, so let's look at page 4. I'll just quickly read. Some of it we'll read in English and some in Hebrew because we've read some of it. But Moshe Rabbeinu, as you see, is telling them how Hashem took care of them. He took them from from Egypt, and now he's taking them to Har Sinai to get the Torah, he tells them. And an 11-day journey took only 3 days, trying to tell them how much Hashem loved them and what he wanted was to take them into the land of Israel so soon. No problem. So soon. And yet what happens? They ended up messing up, as we know, showing the love of Hashem and how he took care of them. And then we say on page number 4, in Pasuk Gimel, it says, Vayhi ba'arba'im shana, and it was in the 40th year, in the 11th month. That's telling us exactly when he's speaking to them. Then we've read this Pasuk on the 1st of the month, because that's when he's speaking to them. In other words, in Hebrew, it's the month of Shvat, which is the 11th month, because Moshe Rabbeinu passes away in the month of Adar. So this is in the month of Shvat, a month or over a month before he passes away. This is where Moshe Rabbeinu is giving them all this instruction. Now, I want to show, and it says, when am I giving? And he specifies it's after, as you can see on page 5, which is, and Pasuk Dalet, it says, Acharei HaKaisai, after he had smitten, and then you go to page 6, he says, Esichin Melech Emayri, Asher Yeshiv Bechejbin, Vesayg Melech Habash, and I think we did this last week, right? So, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, I've destroyed these great nations, right? I fought these wars for you, trying to tell them that the reason I'm giving you rebuke is not to find excuses for myself that I'm unable to bring you into the land of Israel because I'm too weak. I fought wars, and we were successful in our wars. And the truth is that you are about to enter the land of Israel. But I have to rebuke you, because, as we mentioned in the first few shiurim, being the faithful shepherd that I am, and almost like a parent, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I have a responsibility to hope and to try and direct you on the right path. So all of this is to give them that foundation to show them he's not rebuking them because of excuses. He's not rebuking them because he's weak. He's not rebuking them for any revenge. He's only, anything that comes across negative, it's only because he has good intentions. Hopefully they'll be able to learn and internalize and grow from what he says. Okay, then we go to page 7. Let's see, on page 7, it says, you might have a double 6 for some reason, and then page 7, and then it says, Be'ever HaYardain, right, it was across of the Jordan, Be'eretz Mayav, it was in the land of Mayav, Hayil Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah HaZayis Lemar, Moshe Rabbeinu began Beyer means to clarify, to explain this Torah. And I wanted to show you something in that Rashi. Rashi says, Beyer es haTorah. What does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu began to explain. Look how beautiful. B'shivim loshon persha lahem. He explained it to them in 70 languages. This is a very fascinating idea. What does that mean? I mean, they didn't speak 70 languages. Why does he have to say it in 70 languages? So just on a simple level, what it means is he spoke to them in a language that they would all understand. So that was first of all. But what does he mean here in the 70 languages? Because it's a very interesting, this is what we take from it. Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to this generation that's going to enter the land of Israel. But really what he's speaking to is the future of the Jewish people forever, up until us nowadays. And what Moshe Rabbeinu says is, in a prophesizing way, that the Jewish people, although it's true now they're going to enter the land of Israel, but they're not going to remain there forever. And they are inevitably going to be spread across the entire globe. And we know that that's true. And they will be speaking all the languages that every person speaks. And what Moshe Rabbeinu is showing them is that the Torah is relevant and has to be applied and can be applied wherever you live, whatever your language is. If you don't speak the holy tongue, translate it and speak it in your language. But the Torah needs to be brought down and explained and illuminated in every language wherever you are. And that's what happens. And that's what we find. Nowadays, we find it the most than ever in history. I think it's actually quite a beautiful thing that we find that nowadays the Torah has been translated into so many languages. And we're talking about authentically. We're not just talking from other religions. We're talking about in the Jewish way. You have every language, even in Chinese. There was somebody who told me, Ruth Elisheva, you remember she used to live here, she said that somebody asked her to translate the Tanya into Chinese. I mean, it's like unbelievable how things are translated, obviously, French and Spanish. And I mean, Spanish is a big one because the whole South America, they have a lot in Spanish and French and every language you want is the Torah is, of course, Russian translated into. And the idea, and of course, English that we speak, it's definitely, and the idea being two things. First of all, that the Torah is applicable to all times and all places. But it also means that we are bringing the Torah into everything. And that's something very important. That's part of illuminating the world and making the world a place ready for Mashiach. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu begins over here, starting this in this speech, however it was. I mean, they didn't hear it in all 70 languages, but he made it possible. He gave it the potential to be translated. There is, on the other hand, another interesting discussion about this. You know, in the time of, I think it was just the time of the second Beis HaMikdash when the Greeks were ruling over the land of Israel, and they took a bunch of very great wise men from the Jewish people, and they forced them to translate the Torah into Greek. This was something actually considered a negative thing. It was a terrible thing. They wanted access to everything, but it wasn't just that they wanted access. What they had in mind was they wanted to find all the things, like nowadays, you know, people cherry pick all the negative things about, whether it be about non-Jews or all the things that the Torah doesn't make sense, and to belittle the Torah and to mock it and to try. And we know that the Greeks were one of the first who really, really had such a strong agenda of Hellenizing the Jewish people. In other words, secularizing, that's what we would call it now, modernizing. And this is something that they did very well. Unfortunately, they were quite successful. And how did they do it? By showing and mocking the Torah. So we have the same thing now, how it's ancient, how it doesn't make sense, how there's so many contradictions. But what fascinating thing was that they took many great sages, I think maybe 70, I can't remember, and they put them in different rooms and they asked them to translate. And the idea was, what they thought was that they would all have to translate it 100% literal, because otherwise they would be called out, right? Because they would be able to compare it. But Hashem made miracles, and they had certain things that they didn't translate exactly. For example, Bereshis Bara Elokim, they didn't write in the beginning, Bara created God, because that sounds like something else created God. They all wrote it the other way. They all wrote God in the beginning God created. Like, in other words, we say it, but God came first. So they switched it. They didn't translate literal. And Hashem made a miracle that they all did the same. This was miraculous in order to save. So again, very interesting, but still it was a negative thing. So there is that negativity implied here, which means what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is the reason I have to explain the Torah in this way is only, and this will come to a few times, because you started out negatively with the golden calf, with the sin of the complaining and not going into the land. And I see that you are a people who don't have such pure faith. So I know what will unfold. You'll go into the land, but you won't be able to stay there permanently. And therefore you will be exiled. And all because I know that that will happen. That's why I have to start now already explaining the Torah in this way. So it's very interesting. It has both aspects. But for us, the main thing is for us to understand is that Moshe Rabbeinu is showing that the Torah is relevant to each and every one of us. Not only relevant, but can be learned by each and every one of us, no matter what background, no matter where we come from, no matter what language we speak. And that's a very important thing. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu began already here. And then he starts telling them. And then now he's really recapping. So he says, in Pasuk Vav, we'll read a few of these psukim here. So in Pasuk Vav, it says, Hashem Elikeinu Dibra Eleinu, right? This is on page 7. Hashem, our God, spoke to us in Chayrev, Bechayrev. Remember, we said that's by Har Sinai. Leimor saying. And what did he say? Rav lachem sheves bahar hazeh. You have had much dwelling by this mountain. We might have read this one also last week, but what did we say? This means simply that, and he says like this, that you have, in other words, you've already, because they stayed by Har Sinai for almost a year. And he said, enough time to move on. You know, time to start getting closer and going to the land. Okay, then the reason that they ended up staying there was because they did the golden calf. Otherwise, they wouldn't have stayed there so long. But remember, because of the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu had to go back on the mountain, beg for mercy, come back again, and then bring the second set of luchais, and then they had the command of building the Mishkan. All wonderful, but it was all the golden calf that caused that pause. But here Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem said it's time to move on. But then Rashi says another thing. He says, for you, or he says, there is much, not Rav, like a lot in quantity, but a lot in quality. He says, you have much reward for your having dwelt at this mountain. Why? Because Asisa Mishkan, Menorah, Vekelim, you have made the tabernacle, the Menorah, and the holy implements. Kibaltem Torah, you received the Torah. What else did you do? You appointed Sanhedrin, and we're going to see, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to continue with that theme about the Sanhedrin, leaders of thousands and leaders of 100. Okay, so I just want to see now we go on to page 8. And then he says, and now since you've been here so long, it's time to move on. Pnu, Su'u, let's say, what does he say here? To go. Okay. To go. Har ha'emayri, ve'el kol shcheina, ba'arava, ba'haru, v'ashvelu, ba'negavu, ba'chayf hayam, eretz haknani, v'halvonain, ad hanar ha'gadol nahar pras. I think we did read this, so now he's telling them, because where are they heading to? To the land of Israel. And he's telling them the full borders, you know, that's what you'll get to. Mirtz Hashem, one day we'll have the full borders, as we mentioned, of the land of Israel. But this is where you are entering. I just want to show you. Then he says, look, see, I have given the land before you. Bayu, come, urushu es haaretz, and take possession of the land. The reason that he has to say this again is also to encourage them, because they're afraid. This is a very daunting task that they're about to do. And he's reassuring them, you have the blessing of Hashem, and you have my blessing. Go, don't be afraid. You'll be able to do it. And then we say, look in page 9, this is the land Asher Nishba Hashem Laveseichem, that Hashem promised your forefathers to Avram, to Yitzchak, and Liakov, Los Seis Lahem, to give them, Ulezarem Achareyem, and to their children after them. Why does he have to mention that it was promised to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Again, to tell them that even if you feel that you are not worthy because you have made many mistakes, which they did in the desert, or perhaps they feel like when they enter the land, they might not be able to live up to the holiness and they might not be worthy. That's why Hashem tells them, but I promised it to your forefathers. In the merit of your forefathers, You deserve it, even if you don't deserve it in your own merit. So don't be afraid. Go with confidence. And realize also that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov continuously daven for you that you should be successful in the land. And we have that message. This is a very, very important message for us nowadays. This is an eternal message for the Jewish people. That's why we say, you know, every day, we mention this, that every day when we daven Shemayna Esrei, how do we begin? Right away, Elekei Avraham, Elekei Yitzchak, Elekei Yaakov. It says, I saw once a beautiful thing written. It's like every day, we, if you want to say, in our own mind, we transport ourselves to Hebron, to go and daven at the caver of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's how we can picture ourselves when we say Shemayna Esrei, that we're not in Sydney, but we're actually in Hebron, and we're lucky enough to daven by them, because they really are there for us to give us the strength to go and to conquer the land of Israel, literally, as well as we'll see, what that means, obviously, for us in our own lives, to conquer everything that we need to conquer, to make holy all of the parts of the world that were designated for us to make holy. And we have to realize it's not on our own, it's with the strength of our forefathers. That's why, again, Moshe stresses that. But then, I'll show you. Now we come here to a few very interesting psukim. Looks a little bit of a diversion, but as Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, I promised, you know, and we knew we were going to enter the land, but what happened? So let's see in Pasuk 9. We see something interesting here. We can see it's like Moshe's talking off his heart, you know, all the difficulties that he himself went through as a leader leading them in the desert. So it says, "Va'aymar aleichem, I said to you, ba'eis ha'hi at that time, leimar saying, loy uchal levadi se'eseschem. I cannot carry you alone. Hashem, look how he says, Hashem aleikeichem, hirba eschem, Hashem your God has increased you, v'hinchem hayoim, and today, look, behold, today, you are kikoichvei hashamayim, like the stars of the heaven, laroiv, in abundance." Okay, literally, just simply, it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that it came a point where I said to Hashem, and I said to you, the Jewish people, that it's very hard for me to lead you as a leader on my own, because there are many of you. And we know that in Parshas Yisrael we had this, when Yisrael came and he saw Moshe Rabbeinu judging the people from morning to night, and he said to him, "What are you doing? You have to delegate, you know, the famous delegating. You can't do it on your own." And one of the reasons, as Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, is because there's so many of you, because Hashem blessed you, and there are so many. Look, he continues, but we're going to come back in a second, because I want to understand this a little more. But I just want to read one more pasuk. He says, two more pasukim, Hashem elikei aveseichem, may Hashem. Now, after he mentions that you are like the stars of the heaven in abundance, it seems very beautiful. Moshe Rabbeinu gives a bracha from himself. And what does he say? As we mentioned at the beginning, that when he was giving them rebuke, he also blessed them, right? He doesn't leave them negative, he gives them positive. So what does he say? Hashem elikei aviseichem, may Hashem, the God of your forefathers, yoseif aleichem, Hashem should add to you, kachem, like you, elef pa'amim, 1,000 times, vayivarech eschem, and he will bless you, kasher dibra lachem, as he has spoken of you. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, it's not enough how much you've increased, 1 second, but I want 1,000 times more, and he's going to bless you even more. So Moshe Rabbeinu is giving them beautiful bracha. Yes, Riva.
Stars of the heaven are not yachad, that are separate.
Okay.
And that's not a good thing.
Okay, well, you know, it's a very good...
As the sand of the seas is also separate, but the dust of the earth...
Together, very good. That's a beautiful point. That's why that bracha is said in that way with both. But keep that for a second, because we're going to see something very beautiful. You're right that they are separate, and there is a concept of unity that we need to have strength. But there is also something about being like the stars that we have to have, and that's what we want to see. So we're going to come back. But that's a very, very beautiful point that you said. Yes, there is a concept of us being united. That's not, what did you say? It's like the dust, which is more one. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Kachol hayom, and to...
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you. Okay. So now I wanted to show you one more pasuk, and then we're going to come back to understand what he's talking about here, because there's a lot, there's so much depth here. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, so now, he blesses, first of all, he says that there's so many, that's why I couldn't, you know, hold them all. And then he says, I bless you to be even more, very nice. But then, look in pasuk Yud Beis, what he says. Here he's kvetching a little. Not kvetch, whatever. Eicha Esa Levati, the famous pasuk. How can I alone carry? What can I carry? Tarchechem, your trouble. Maschem, right? And your burden. Let's see in a minute. Verivchem, and your quarrels, as you say. You know, when you're like the stars, and there are many of you, and you're separate, you don't get along. It's too much for me, Moshe Rabbeinu says. So therefore, what did I do because of that? I'm sorry, we're going to come back, but I just want to read the psukim to see. He says, Havu lachem anashim, provide yourself. And he's telling the Jewish people. He almost like, he said, this is what happened, and I really consulted with you, and you agreed. So provide for yourselves men. What kind of men? Chachamim, men who are wise, unevainim, and understanding. V'yiduim, l'shifteichem, and well-known to your tribes. And what will these men do? On page 13. V'asimeim b'raisheichem, and I will appoint them as your heads. And then we know, what did the Jewish people respond? Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Vata'anu aisi," which means, in other words, we will delegate, right? We will have other people who can also lead you. And if you have a problem, you don't have to wait online for so long if it's only me, but you can have other people that you can come and share all your problems with. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. And the Jewish people, were they happy with this idea? Okay, well, they were, unfortunately. It says, Vatanu oisi, and they answered me, Vataimru, Toiv hadavar asher dibar talasais. The matter is good that you proposed. The truth is, just on a simple level, we know this was a bit of a problem. Because what the Jewish people should have said to Moshe is, we want you. You're the best, right? It's like, you know, an example would be, when it comes to health, and, you know, a specialist tells you, well, you can just go to this. I have 10 students. You don't want the students. You want the professor. You're not interested in the students. You want the top. You know, that's what you want. So why are they so quick to accept that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'll appoint, okay, they'll be very special people, but they're not Moshe. So you see, one, remember, we learned this previously. When Moshe Rabbeinu did it, actually, one of the reasons, unfortunately, was this, because they didn't look at it like we look at a doctor. They looked at it more like litigation. Now, if you go to a judge, what you look for is perhaps a judge who isn't such a great expert or isn't such a great moral person. Maybe you can bribe him, or maybe, not bribe, God forbid, we're not so bad, but maybe we can manipulate the situation, we'll be smarter than the judge, you know, if it's somebody who doesn't have so much experience, and we'll be able to get our way. So in a sense, the Jewish people did feel that with Moshe they knew, he's not, you know, there's no budging Moshe. Moshe's MS, he's pure truth. But they thought perhaps if there's other people delegated, maybe they can manipulate the situation. And people who thought that were especially people who perhaps were more learned even, or more wealthy, or more important, and we'll see soon why a person might think that. Okay, so this wasn't such a positive thing. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them now. Again, as we're saying, it's part of the rebuke, showing them that they shouldn't have been so eager to agree. I mean, what's the point of that? Why would you do that? Let's see, before we go back. Okay, so now, I want to show you something beautiful. Now, if you go, actually, it's right on your next sheet, I think, right? The next, is that the last sheet of your booklet?
Yes.
Beautiful. Go to the next booklet, because there we have, very nice. I want to show you something. Now we're going to come to understand on different, I'm sorry. Sorry. Before we go to the next booklet, there was one or two Rashis. Sorry. Just go back. I want to see which Rashis. There was a few important ones I wanted to see. So sorry. Let me see which page I want to go back to. Very, very important. Okay, let me show you like this. In page number 9, where Moshe Rabbeinu said that I can't carry you on my own. So Rashi says, what does it mean that I can't carry you on my own? What is he telling them? He says a very interesting thing, because it's a fascinating thing. Is it because there were so many of, it sounds almost like, you know, he said you there were so many of you, which is true, and it's hard for one person to be able to do the job when there's so many people, like to be the only judge. But it's much deeper than that. And that's what we have to understand. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, Loi uchal levadi, Rashi says. Efshar shaloi haya Moshe yachal ladon es Yisrael. Is it possible that Moshe was not able to judge Israel? Adam shehitziyam mitzrayim. Let's not forget who Moshe is. We're not talking about an ordinary, simple human being. We're talking about Moshe. What do we know about Moshe? Moshe is the one that took them out of Egypt. The Karalahem es Hayam, he split the sea for them. Hayrid es Haman, he brought down the man. The Hegiz es Haslav, and he made, we know, those birds fly, you know, the ones that they wanted meat. In other words, whatever happened, he was able to be in charge and to bring whatever needed miraculously, beyond nature, unbelievable. So what is the problem here? Is it possible that he shouldn't be able to judge them? So rather, elakach amar lehem, but rather he says to them like this, Hashem elikeichem hir be'eschem, Hashem your God has increased you. What do I mean by increased? I don't mean in number. That wouldn't be such a problem. The problem is, the heirim es is a higdil, he has made you great. The heirim eschem al dayonchem, he raised you over your judges. You know the famous thing that I think Ben Gurion said when he says something like, it's one, I think to the president of the United States, something like, he's the president over I don't know how many people, but Ben Gurion says, I'm the president over whatever, 600,000 presidents. You know, like the Jewish people are not an ordinary people. And the truth is, it's true. We're not an ordinary people because Hashem made us that way. We are actually all leaders. That's what makes it so difficult. It is. It's not so simple as we know. He says, Hashem raised you over your judges. And what did he do to you? Natales ha'oinesh. He has taken the punishment from you, v'nesonai al hadayonim, and he put it on the judges. And I'll tell you what that means. What does it mean? He took the punishment from you and put it on the judges. So if you see in the note, Rashi brings from the art scroll Chumash. He brings from the Mefarshei Rashi. He says if a judge incorrectly decides against a litigant, thereby punishing him by making him pay or otherwise lose money that is properly his, Hashem will pay the loss back to the wrong party and exact it from the judge. Okay, so when you're a Jewish judge, it's not so simple. You can't just make a mistake. Mistakes are not mistakes. You are held responsible. Not only financially, that's the problem. Anytime that a judge judges the Jewish people, which means anytime we're a leader, anytime we're anything, that we have any power of influence, we have to be so careful because we are held responsible for anything, any pain or any loss that we cause somebody else. And Moshe Rabbeinu said it made it almost impossible to judge all of you because it's not quantity, the quality. You are so great, you are so lifted, you are so elevated. And that was very challenging. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, it became extremely burdensome for me. It was a very big weight on my shoulders. It made me full, obviously it would be full of anxiety. And we'll see in a minute even how much more than just this. I'll show you in a second. But I just want to show you one more thing. Let's look at Rashi. I'll just continue a little bit more. That's what Rashi says. Shlomo HaMelech says, for who can judge this people of great consequence of yours? Is it possible that the one of whom it is written, and we're talking about Shlomo, who was the wisest of all men. Why does he say you can judge the people? Because what does Shlomo HaMelech mean? He says that the judges of this nation, Israel, are not like the judges of the other nations. Because if a judge of the other nations makes a mistake, he kills, he beats or strangles or perverts his judgment or robs, he says, there's nothing for him. He doesn't suffer any consequences. But I, as a Jewish judge, on the other hand, if I made someone liable to pay money unjustly, my life is demanded of me. As it says, he takes the lives of those who steal from them, and that's referring to their judges. That's even Shlomo HaMelech says. This is a tremendous responsibility. Obviously, every judge has to judge correctly, and every human life is important. But we as the Jewish people have been given an extra value, as he says. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, it made it impossible for me to judge you. And I want to show you, it continues. And then he says, flowing from that, the pasuk continues and says, behold, you are today like the stars of the heavens. So Rashi asks an interesting question. He says, were they like the stars of the heaven on that day? They weren't like the stars of the heaven. What do I mean? Because there was only 600, well, there wasn't 600, let's say 3 million, right? With the men, the women, and the children, there were 3 million. But there are the idea of stars of the heaven is that it's, like there's so many you can't even count them. But the Jewish people yet hadn't reached that bracha. The truth is, we say, we never did. We have always remained so small. What are we, 14, 15 million Jews in the whole world? Such a small number. Even though all the beautiful brachas, as you're talking about, that Hashem gave us to be like the stars of the heaven, like the sand, like the, you would think that we never reached that bracha. So many times what's explained is that we've reached the bracha as the stars of the heaven, not in number, but just in quality, that we shine like the stars of the heaven, that we are able to illuminate. But even more than that, the impact that we have on the world, in the positive way for sure, is like the stars. In other words, you would think that there are so many. And in the negative way, this is not negative from our point, but in the negative way, the way we are viewed by the world, they think of us as if we are billions of people. You ask anybody in the street and they'll tell you how many Jews there are, because for some reason we dominate the whole news and the whole attention of everybody. That seems to be the way it is, but that's because the quality is so, so strong. It's not even a question. There's nothing we can do. We can't avoid that. That's a fact. I want to show you what the next Rashi says, but he answers. So were they like the stars of the heavens? He says only 600,000. So what is meant by it? And behold, you are today. So therefore, Rashi says something very profound, and we're going to develop this. Hinchem mishulim kayoim. You are compared to the day. What does that mean, a day? Because it says you are, it says in the pasuk, today you are like the stars in the heaven. So Rashi says, don't read it, today you are like the stars in the heaven. Rather read it that you are like today, like a day, and like the stars in the heaven. What does that mean? He says, lasting eternally. He says, behold, you are compared to the day, and we'll see what that means, but also lasting eternally, like the sun, and like the moon, and like the stars. Just like they are eternal, we are an eternal nation. Now, we have to understand what's happening and how this flows from what he said before. And this is, we'll see a beautiful lesson. I just want to see if there was one more Rashi here. This one that you can't. Oh. Yeah, it's interesting. Rashi asks that. I think we mentioned this at the beginning when Moshe Rabbeinu blesses them. He says, you should be 1,000 like you are now. And people say, what does that mean? That's a terrible bracha, because Hashem said we're going to be infinite. And Moshe's putting a number, he's limiting it. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, I'm not limiting it. This is the bracha for me. And of course, Hashem's bracha is much greater. So I'm just adding, like I'm just telling you now that you will be able to feel the bracha in a more tangible way. Okay. And then let's go now to the, we'll come back maybe. Okay, now go to the other booklet. I want to show you something beautiful to understand the flow here and how a beautiful lesson from this for all of us. Okay, so now we just said that Moshe Rabbeinu said it's hard to judge you, right, because you're so many, but we said that's not to do with so many. It's more to do, as Rashi says, with the quality, right, with what they are, that I've lifted them, I've made them so special like the stars in the heaven. Okay, so we have a fascinating idea here, and I'll read some of this inside, and some we'll just do orally. I want to just find one page that I wrote. To see it very nicely. Okay, so he's like this very interesting thing. So Rashi, as we just said, he's compared us kayoim, like day. What is like day? So simply put, Rashi said, just like the day is made up. What runs? How do we have a day? A day is made up of a day, even physically, a day and night, because the sun shines during the day. At night we have the moon. And of course, to help the moon, Hashem also gave the stars. And what that shows is something very powerful, as we said, the concept of eternity. Because just like we know, sometimes people say this, you know, when they're going through a difficult time, they say, you know, my life seems to have ended, and yet I wake up and the sun rises, right? The sun rises every day. The sun sets every day. This just happens. It's eternal. It's consistent. It's constant. It never stops. No matter what else is happening, the sun rises and the sun sets, right? The moon comes out at night. The moon, you know, goes up and down as it fluctuates with the month. These are constant, consistent things. So that's why, in a way, this is a beautiful promise that Hashem is saying to the Jewish people, that you know what? One of the reasons why it's so difficult for a judge to judge the Jewish people is because they're so valuable. As we said, Hashem lifted them. He made them eternal. He made them special. But what's fascinating is, if you think about the eternal part of it, if you judge somebody incorrectly and then they're gone. Like, in other words, if you judge somebody incorrectly, a normal person, if you want to say a normal thing, well, then it's only a temporary mistake. But with the Jew, what he's showing is that since the Jewish people are eternal, when a judge makes a mistake, it's an eternal mistake. It has ripple effect forever, because we live forever, right? So it again makes it, it's just trying to show how Moshe Rabbeinu found it's so burdensome, so difficult, so heavy to judge the Jewish people. They are so special. They've been lifted like the stars, like the heavens, you know, like the sun and the moon. They're so valuable, and they are eternal, which makes it extremely challenging for anybody to be a leader or to take any type of position of responsibility, because it's like we say, you know, with a teacher has such responsibility because what they do affects the person forever. So if you know that, it becomes very, very difficult. Sometimes, you know, if you have a little job, you say, I'll do the little job, it doesn't matter. But when you know what you're doing has such ramification, it becomes very, very, very stressful. So this is part of what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to them. Hashem elevated them and he made them permanent. So the consequence is permanent. But there's an interesting thing, and this is something that I've grappled with a little bit now. You know, when you think about, when we talk about now, even our situation, and people get a bit down, and yet we see in the Torah, and we know from looking back at history, that we've gone through many, many challenges, and many nations have tried to destroy us. They've never been successful. So we say the Jewish people are eternal, right? So in a sense, that can give us a measure of hope, confidence, comfort, but there's only one problem. The Jewish people as a nation are eternal. But what about every individual, right? Along the way, there have been many karbanis, right, as we know. It's true. We know that they're not going to get us. No matter what they're going to try, we're going to be here. They won't be here, but we will, right? As we say, the arch of Titus is just an arch. Titus is gone. The Roman Empire is gone. We're here. But the fact is that Jews along the way, individuals, is a problem, right? So here we see something very beautiful. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them something so incredible. He says, obviously it's true that along the way Jews can be affected individually. But he's saying something when he highlights the concept of not just the sun and the moon, but he specifically highlights the stars. Why does he mention the stars? Because what do we know? We mentioned this at the beginning of Chumash Shemais. What does it say right away at the beginning of Chumash Shemais? That Hashem actually counted the Jewish people, right? When they entered Egypt, right? And then he counted them and they're 70 souls. And it says, why does he count them? Because they're precious. What does it compare them to? To the stars, right? It says, just like when the stars come out at night, they are counted, and you know, they shine and they're counted, the same way Hashem counts every individual Jew. So here, we have a very beautiful thing. It's true, we are an eternal nation as a whole, but don't think that it's only talking about us as a whole. Hashem cares about each and every individual, as we say when he counts the stars, so to speak. Each and every one of us also matters as an individual. That's why we're highlighting us as individuals, not as a group, which of course Achdus is important, but over here we're trying to show how every individual also matters. And even though we think every individual is not eternal, but we are. We are eternal. Maybe not physically, but spiritually, and in the scheme of things, definitely. And that's something very important. I want to just show you, if you look here, it says, that's why the mashal, the shemesh yareach v'kaychavim, he says, it's why is he using this analogy of the moon and the sun and the stars? They come like in the dream of Yosef. What do we have in the dream of Yosef? Do you remember one of the dreams where they bow down, right? The sun, the moon, right? And the stars, they all bow down. So he says like this, because what did the Shemesh represent? What did the sun represent in Yosef's dream? Do you remember? Excellent, his father. And the moon was supposed to be the mother, right? And what were the stars? the brothers. Exactly. Exactly right. So the children. So the father, the mother, and the children. When you think of what father, mother, and children represent, what do children represent? Continuity, right? There's parents, and they have children, and children have children, and children have children. The idea of the continuity. So I'll show you something beautiful. He says, Yisrael kayamim la'olam kechama ukelevana ukechavim. Right? The Jewish people last forever, like the sun, like the moon, and like the stars. Shazehu mashal al hemshech hadoros. This is an analogy to the continuity and the continuation of the generations. Shel am Yisrael. She'ein lo hefsek. There is never, ever a blockage, a stopping. It doesn't stop. It's for sure, eternal. Kayomim la'olam. We exist forever. So this emphasizes the importance of every individual, b'nechitzusei shalam Yisrael, amongst the eternity of the people. One of the very important things we have to realize, a lot of times, what we do, and this sometimes, usually we do it in the negative way, we say to ourselves, what does it really matter what I'm going to do today, or how I'm going to feel today, or how I'm going to respond, or the fact that I'm, you know, we say, like a lot of times we say that our mood will affect even the soldiers, right? Like we have to be optimistic, we have to be courageous, even when everything looks doom and gloom and we're getting bombarded with all the doom and gloom, we don't have the luxury of allowing ourselves to go, we can't, you know, it's too much, and put the pillow, you know, the blanket over our head and give up. So a lot of times we might think, but little me, really, who are we fooling? I'm just a nobody, right? So here we say, no. A Jew can never, ever say that. It's an excuse. It's the Yetzer Hara talking big. Because each and every one of us is literally, as Moshe Rabbeinu said, like another star. And we know that the stars shine, they shine, and they cause light. Some of it seems a bit distant and a bit small, but they're there. And he says that we are just as important, each and every one of us, as an individual. And he says beautifully, shekol echad va'achas, and each and every one of us, not only like a star, but he gives a beautiful example, a way of understanding it is, Taba'as achas mehashalsheles hanitzchis shel am Yisrael. What's a taba'as? A ring. It's like when you have a chain, and you know, if one ring is gone, well, the chain is broken. It's finished. Doesn't work. Can't wear that necklace when one little chain comes off. So each and every one of us is a link in that chain. And if we decide one day that we're giving up on ourselves, it's not just on ourselves. We're giving up on the future continuity of the Am Yisrael. It's an incredible responsibility, but it's also an incredible empowerment that we taked. It does make a difference. It really does. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them. You are like, that's why it was so difficult for me, because you're not just anybody. You're, and it's each and every individual, really, and I have to be really careful with each and every one of you. And that's how we have to look at ourselves. And that's why he says, V'lochein ha-pigia bi-yachid, ein rak pigia bay. That's why pigia means if you touch somebody in a negative way, if you harm them, it's not just harming an individual, it's harming generations. That's why if you misjudge somebody, as Maisha says, it's not just this one person standing in front of me today, it's him, his grandchildren, it's forever. And it affects the entire Jewish people. And that's interesting. What it shows also, and we'll see this, I feel bad we didn't get to it today, but we'll see it more next week, but what's powerful about this is, we're looking at it both from the way we view ourselves, but also the way we have to realize how we interact with others. Every Jew is a link in the chain, which means if we hurt another Jew, if we discount another Jew, if we treat another person as if they don't matter, that they don't count, that is massive. Absolutely massive. That's how we have to feel, like Moshe Rabbeinu says, that this is a heavy burden in a good way, but in a way that it's important and valuable for us to realize the responsibility that we have and that we can do it. So that's what he says. And then he continues and he says something very beautiful. And that's why it uses the word hayoim to show us the sun, the moon, and the stars. But now, we have to understand something else though. That's all very nice and good. We're learning this mainly from the stars, but what about the sun and the moon? So there's another beautiful lesson. That's also for us, just on a practical level. What's the difference between the sun and the moon? Besides day and night. What do we know about the sun? The sun is?
Hot. Heat.
Hot. It's definitely hot. That's true. What else is the sun, as we said? Every day it rises. Every day it says. It's the same. The sun shows consistency. Constancy, but consistency. And it's always the same. Which has a mila. You know, it's as you say, you would call somebody reliable, dependable. But it's missing something. What does the moon have that the sun doesn't have? It fluctuates. And what's good about something that fluctuates? I mean, sometimes we think, oh, it's not reliable. But what is good about something that fluctuates? Why does Hashem make things fluctuate? Why is the world not created that we're all the same and everything's the same and every day is the same? And why don't we eat the same supper every day? Why?
Because it changes.
Why does it change, Sheila? Why? What's the advantage? Yeah, so, but what's the advantage of change? It does change. What's the advantage? What's special? What's good about something changing?
To be the food for the moon eventually, so it's good even when it's not getting much light.
Right. Small. So you have hope. But what's the advantage of something changing? Well, think about it. Why don't you eat supper the same supper every day? Maybe some of you do, I don't know.
Keeps you on your toes.
There's a very interesting language in Hebrew. It says, Tainuk tmidi einoi tainuk. A constant pleasure is not a pleasure anymore. It gets boring. It's boring. We don't get excited about it. Why is Shabbos special? Because it's once a week. But Yom Tov is even more special because it comes even more rare. The idea of change is because it puts excitement in. It lifts you. There's something different. That's how Hashem wired us. He wired us that there is excitement and there is a new chayis when something is different. But dependability, reliability, constancy, that's also very important. So what is Moshe Rabbeinu saying to him? Something very interesting. He says, you are hayoim, like the day. You know what a Jew has? He has both. This is crazy, but that's what we always say about us. We combine two opposite things. We have the ability to be both consistent, constant. Every day we wake up and every day we're going to say Maidani, every day. But you know what? The Maidani of today will not be the same as the Maidani of yesterday. Now that's not easy. It's very hard. It's very hard. But this is what Moshe is telling us. We can do it. So we are both the sun and the moon. We have the ability to be constant, as we say, and do everything. And as we say with the Torah, we have to look at it is, the Torah is like, it says, Hayoyim, Hashem gave it us today. It means that you have to do Torah all the time, but it should also be as if it's new today. Is that possible? It's contradictory. If we've already had it so many, well, then it's not new. If it's new, we didn't have it. But no, every single day, as if it's new. And this is the power Hashem has given us. How? Through the Kaychavim. What does the Kaychavim represent? This is very beautiful. You know, that we said the stars, a lot of them are very far. They're very distant. And that's why sometimes you know it's there, but you could barely see it. That represents that part of our neshama, which is deep, deep within us. The yechida, that deep part of the neshama, which is really always connected with Hashem, which we, because it's so special, because it's so holy, and because it is so connected to Hashem, sometimes we don't feel it in a revealed way, but we are aware it's there. And that part of our neshama gives us that ability to have the combination of the two opposites. And we do see it, obviously. In order for it to really happen, we do have to keep adding. In other words, if we taka wake up every day and say Maida Ani, but if we don't learn something new every day, if we don't get a little bit deeper, it will get stale. It's a fact. So we do have to keep on adding, both in our learning and in our doing mitzvahs and in our inspiration. And that helps flavor it. Like, you know, you have to add a new spice every day so that it becomes, yeah, you can have the same chicken. It could be chicken every day, but you'll prepare it a little bit differently every day. So then it's fine. Then it's not boring anymore. So that's the idea. It's the same Torah. It's the same davening, but it has a bit of different flavor. That's up to us. We've got to do that. And if we don't, we know what happens. We don't want to eat it. You don't have an appetite. You don't want to eat it. It doesn't do anything for you. And that's the idea. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu here is telling the Jewish people. You are like the sun, the moon, and the stars. And this is something we can all do. We can all implement. But beautifully, we have to realize we are both eternal. We are eternal. We are not just big in quantity, much bigger in quality. We're not even big in quantity, but we are definitely heavy weights in quality. That's why it's hard to judge us. But we are eternal, for sure. We are eternal both as a nation and matter as an individual. We are links in the chain, and this also depends on how we view our Yiddishkeit, that what it means to us. And every day, we live as new. We live with a new chayis. And we thank God we woke up this morning. And in a way, it's hard. In a way, we would love, sometimes we say we would love it to be a little bit more boring. Sometimes we don't want any excitement, but that's not up to us. Hashem decides, as we know. But what we have to do is go with that and realize that there has to be the constancy. That's where we do the same thing every day. That's a very important thing to anchor us. So we do open up the same siddur every day, and that's a beautiful thing, and say the same davening every day. And yet, at the same time, we add new and exciting, some new flavor, some new dimension, and that's the Jewish people, if you want to say. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu describes us, and that's what we are. So in Ritz Hashem, we'll have a very good week with, yes, as we say, to know not only us, not only we should know, we know our quality, but even the nations of the world will recognize it eventually in Mirtz Hashem. But it should be, it doesn't really matter so much. At least we should know. The truth is, if we know, that's already a biggest part. And we should really remember what we are and what we're meant to be doing. And Hashem should give us the bracha, Yosef Hashem Kochem. Hashem should increase us in quality and in quantity, that we should have all the brachas we need to have all the strength we need. And Mirtz Hashem, we will feel it in a revealed way.